Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of the Amber May Show. So glad my friends are joining me today because I have the founder of Liberty Uncensored. It's a brand new newspaper, and I want you to get to know the founder. His name is Corey Hagg. And so we're going to find out about what got him motivated to even start a paper. And what I love about it is it's another branch of a conservative voice. They want to take away AM radio, where a lot of us conservatives are at. And we're just going to push back harder, right? So Liberty Uncensored is the newspaper, so check that out. Hey, like, share, and subscribe. Please like, share, and subscribe. Share this far and wide. Go ahead and look at the description below. And I have partnered with businesses to help save you money. And in turn, they help support the show as well. It's a win-win for everybody. We are defunding the swamp. We are refunding our conservative movement. And we kind of talk on that about the show, like ways we can take our power back away from the world powers at be that want to take over the world. So check that out. I just made an easy shift. I went from woke mode to patriot mode, so check that out as well. Like, share, and subscribe. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show on Telegram. Join me on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May. If you believe in what I'm doing and would love to be an angel investor, please go to the website at theambermayshow.com and click the donate button. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. Well, up next is Corey with Liberty Uncensored. Like I told you, we got a new place to learn about the news that we can trust. And joining me today is the founder and owner, Corey Hagg of Liberty Uncensored. Welcome to the program. So happy to have you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Oh, my gosh. So I want to know like a little bit about you because we'll get into your newspaper. But like, tell me a little bit about Corey so our audience can get to know the founder of the newspaper.
Sure. Well, I guess I'm many things. I've done many things in my life so far, but I am a world traveler, a veteran, combat veteran in Afghanistan. I'm an author. I've written 2 books. I'm an editor for Liberty Uncensored newspaper. I have built various projects over the years, from social clubs to many different types of businesses. All with the aim of bringing more freedom into this world. So most of the projects, most of the organizations or businesses that I involve myself in are all kind of community-based projects. It's all about kind of funneling money into places where it's going to be most efficiently used to bring, more abundance for a large group of people who are actively engaged in making a better world. So like, you know, I want to bring all the project makers more abundance.
Oh, I love that.
Because there's not enough of that, really. I mean, right. if you are going against the stream, then, or trying to build a parallel system or whatever it is your goal is, if you're trying to do something alternative, you are facing an uphill battle, and it can be very difficult.
Oh
so
my gosh, you have that on the support. Head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not that much support usually. So I want to build projects that support those people who are doing amazing things. And by doing so, you know, I want to have my own projects that are successful, but I want them to be focused on really supporting the myriad other businesses and projects that already exist that mm-hmm. just need, maybe they need more marketing help. So, hey, advertising right. the paper, maybe they need help in meeting new clients. Maybe they need help in reaching further audience, whatever it is. I'd like to have my projects bringing people together and building up other people's projects, doing amazing things in this world. And actually, one of those things is the Cult DAO. The Cult DAO is an amazing new project You can find it at cultdao.io, and they're funding the revolution. So it's they're being built on a new blockchain. It's a cryptocurrency. But it's more than that. It's more than a cryptocurrency. It's literally funding the revolution. You get paid for doing what they call acts of revolt, and that doesn't mean violence. That means you're doing projects that are actually highly beneficial to creating a better world.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. So for instance, like supporting your newspaper, you could get something for that. I mean, is that kind of how this works?
No. You'd right now, the way that it's built is because it's still young. It's still a new thing, the cult DAO. So if you wanted to earn money, you'd probably, most of it would be probably focusing on, marketing the cult DAO to a greater population. So if you're out there flyering, or if you're putting stickers up, or you're doing this, talking about it on a show, perhaps I could put in a proposal for Revolt RVLT. But it doesn't really, it's going to expand over time. And there's a lot of projects. So if you have a project, you can put a proposal into your project funded with 13 ETH, 13 Ethereum. So there's quite a bit more money in it if you have something that's going to benefit the cult ecosystem, so that everybody can prosper by supporting your project. The opposite. If they can prosper and you can prosper and it's a good situation, then you can get funded by the cult. And that's good for businesses that can't get funding from traditional banks.
Oh yeah.
And we actually, so Liberty Uncensored has an NFT crowdfunding campaign going with the Bank of Nowhere, which is kind of, it's similar to the cult in the way of funding things that can't get traditional funding. And so if you, again, have a business that's oriented toward creating more freedom or well-being or whatever it might be in the world, then you can go to bankofnowhere.world and you can get propose your project in there, and you might be accepted to get an NFT crowdfunding campaign going for your project. And so we were the first ones, the first external project to get our crowdfunding campaign going with the Bank of Nowhere. These are just amazing projects that are happening right now.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know about any of this stuff. That's incredible. You and I have a similar heart. I want to help this parallel economy that we're building, because the way they have done things, they have created such a way that they take away our freedom, and it makes you feel like you don't have a lot of choice, but we still do have choices. I'd like to see a fundamental shift out of the big banks into smaller banks and credit unions. I'm a big proponent of credit unions, supporting this alternative media that you're on, that I'm on, getting real news. You're not going to, have the government spin on it where the cabal wants us to do whatever. You're going to actually have real news on your Liberty Uncensored. And what does that feel like for you to be a person who's a veteran, who wanted to serve our country because you believed in freedoms, and then you see what's going on today in the world? How does that make you feel?
Well, actually, I wouldn't say that I joined the military because I was patriotic at all. I would say that there might have been a part of me like that was like that, but really, it's just being a warrior. So, whatever country I was born in, whatever time I was born in, if I was born this way, I would have probably joined the warrior class, whatever that was at the time.
Gotcha.
And so for me, it was just about being a warrior. But at the same time, there was definitely the part of like, I swore an oath to protect foreign and domestic, right? And that does mean something. So like, I'm sure a lot of people just kind of do it and they don't think about it. But in the end, if you think about it, more of our enemies are internal than external. In fact, I would say about like 99%+ of our enemies are internal to this country instead of external. So that oath doesn't just end because I'm not in the military anymore. It's it's also something that it's deeper than an oath even. It's a duty of the people constitutionally by our natural rights, by everything that we are as human. It's a duty to defend your freedom. It's a duty to defend your ability to maintain your sovereignty, your autonomy from systems of oppression. And, you know, there's the vast majority of people have been highly manipulated into believing that they are free when they live in one of the most oppressive systems in the world. Like I said, I'm a world traveler. I go all over the place, but I feel the most oppressed in the United States. And everywhere you go here is there's like something waiting for you. You know, it's like sharks in the water. That's what it feels like here. Mm-hmm. I crossed the border down into Mexico. Nothing like that. There's never a feeling of like there's sharks in the water just waiting to bite me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, almost everywhere else I've been in the world, almost, it has felt safer. It has felt more like normal. People are more normal. They're more human. But in the United States, we have a very apathetic and very difficult population who's been built that way by manipulation, by overt and subtle manipulations over time. I mean, in 2013, it became legal for the United States to propagandize its citizens. True. So, which was a criminal act before then. It's actually still a criminal act. It's just that they just do these things anyway. So, because an executive order, a legislative law, those aren't laws. The only law that exists is Constitution, which is an affirmation of your common law, your natural rights. Mm-hmm. And common law is older than the 1688 English definition of that, the English common law. So, you know, if we were, well, to answer your question, from being a veteran to now, how does it make me feel to see everything that's happening today? Makes me feel like we need to get all the veterans together and take action, because again, that number, 99% of all the people that I know that are veterans, some of them were even anarchists when they were in Afghanistan. So like, it's like most of us are sitting here going, yeah, this is screwed up and it's all nonsense. Mm-hmm. And we knew about it from the beginning. It's just that we were contracted. Mm-hmm. So, like most of us get out and we're like, yeah, that was a stupid thing that we were doing in support of this this empirical design, this empire that's being built by people who are foreign to us. So, you know, these politicians are foreign to me. They don't have anything to do with my life. These people who supposedly are running the country. But I don't really know what they do. I don't know if they're all wearing masks, other people just wearing masks, actors wearing masks. I've seen a lot of weird stuff out there. So there's not really much that we can like definitively know. I think it's like when we bring it down to the simplest format, you know, you can't know really what your legislature is doing. Our original legislature was supposed to never exceed 30,000 constituents per representative. And that got violated in like right away, it got violated in like right at the 1800s mark. And so, you know, everything that's happened past that point has been illegal.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at MeehanMD.com. That's MeehanMD, as in Nancy, MD.com, for all your health care, supplemental, and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to MeehanMD.com. That's MeehanMD, as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment and then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER at checkout.
All right, America, patriots, We are currently on the Amber May Show. So stay tuned. Amber May.
We are here to defend democracy for the people.
Listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Every single legislative law has been unconstitutional. So when I look at what's happening in the world today, I see a bunch of foreign people. They're foreign. It's a foreign nation. And when I look around and I see people who recognize this with me, and we're treating each other in common law, which means I won't harm you. I won't trespass upon you. I won't assault, rape, murder, trespass. I won't commit a crime upon you, and you won't do that to me, then we're good, and that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. When I see people who are abiding by this this system, it's not good. So, I'm as far out as you could possibly get. I don't pay taxes. I don't use license plate, license registration, insurance to move my body around in whatever vehicular thing I want to move it in. I don't abide by any of the rules and regulations put out by whatever these government bodies might be. I'm a purist anarchist. I believe 100% that no government needs to exist, that the people are the government, and that we're a self-regulating thing. Like, cells in the body don't need a government. They just have organs to do certain jobs, and those are those aren't regulating the cells. The cells are moving through them.
Do you consider yourself a state national?
No. Okay. State nationals are a whole different kind of thing.
Because when you're talking, it sounds like stuff that I hear the state nationals say. So I don't know what the difference between the two are, but it sounds that what you said made it me think it was similar or the same.
Well, you could be a anarchist and a state national, but it's like if you're philosophically a state national, like if you believe in that, mm-hmm. then you're probably not an anarchist. If you are just using that to avoid being harassed by police officers, then you could still be an anarchist. Depends on how deep you're philosophically, along that trail. But an anarchist, a true anarchist, is someone who basically anarchy means without rulers. So if you have any kind of government or group of people, democracy itself is an institution of oppression, because what happens is you get majority vote, right? Let's say you have 60% of the population, they vote for something and they say, yes, we want this to happen. The 40% don't get any representation at that point. They don't get what they want. Mm-hmm. So it's actually now the 60% is oppressing the 40% with their opinion. The best way to do things is actually in a republic, or if you're going to have any kind of government, this is supposed to be a constitutional republic, which in the end just means that. And if you have small government, the way it was built, it was supposed to be, it was a very well-designed instrument. Mm-hmm. There was some flaws, but it was also not supposed to be, the stopping point. I like to say it was not meant to be a bed. It was meant to be a launching pad, but everybody's mm-hmm. sleeping. And so, but you have, no government is the highest form of government, because mm-hmm. any kind of government it becomes an oppressive force. When you have government, you're basically saying, I surrender my certain rights, freedoms that I have for the security that you're going to offer me by this guaranteed, mechanized, systematic approach to organizing our society. So if that doesn't exist, then people have to be more responsible and accountable personally in their lives.
Well, what you said earlier about them more or less brainwashing, more or less, is they have been telling us for decades, we are in a democracy. We're a democracy. And it goes back to exactly what you said, because you only need that 51% because the 49 will never get representation. And that's why I like the distinction, because people don't understand the difference between a democracy and a republic. The minority still has representation. I mean, and that's what I really like about living, supposed to be living in a republic, because like the small states, okay, if we never had a republic, then California, New York, Texas, they would always overrule anything Rhode Island or Delaware or any of the tiny itty bitty Maine states would want it. They would never have a say. They would never have equal protection. They would always be rolled over. So a republic, if you want to think about the difference between the two, just think about like little tiny states. Every little tiny state only has two senators. Every state has two senators. Okay. So you think about that. In our state legislature in Arizona, I don't know how it works in every state, but every district has one senator and then two representatives. So at least if, and I think it's only two, maybe there's only one in some regions. I'm not really sure, but the ones I know of there too. So there's always going to be on some level an equal playing field in one chamber or the other. And that's where a republic's really good at. That way everybody has a say and no one's just completely overruling. And I love that you made that distinction because it's important. And it takes morality to rule yourself. If we don't have morals and a moral compass, then we don't rule very well, because morality takes the ability for us as people to rule ourselves. So that's an important distinction too, if you want to think of, because you mentioned that too with anarchy, that as long as, hey, you're being a moral person, you're not harming me, then we can be good. Yeah. We can live cohesively.
Yeah, because no law is necessary for a person who's just a good, decent person. You don't need a law to tell you not to go and murder, assault, rape, trespass, or steal from another human being. The only five things that can create a victim in this world, there's only five crimes, and those are the things I just listed. So if you know not to do those things, and you can extrapolate that, you know, upon the as complex as the society might grow, like is it theft to create a certain kind of business that contracts people into something by having them click a box without telling them exactly what they're signing, like all mm-hmm. like everybody's doing on the internet today. Mm-hmm. You click a box that says I agree to everything. Yeah. While you're contracting, is that stealing from people? Is that fraud? Maybe people are just being not accountable when they're signing things.
Could be.
But maybe we're not being told or whatever. So like as it becomes more complex, right, the society becomes more complex, those five things get extrapolated in many ways into a more detailed form of how that's coming about. But in the end, if you know not to do those five things, you don't need a law. And nowadays, you know, and that really is the only law. There is no laws in parentheses. Those are legislative acts, and the legislature can't just make whatever laws that they want. It has to be within the bounds of the Constitution as far as mm-hmm. this country. Mm-hmm. And so pretty much every law that's been created by the legislatures of this country, state and federal, have been unconstitutional, and they can just be ignored. They're null and void on their face is the legal way to describe that. So it's not in existence. And then, yeah, a republic is supposed to be and really our republic. It's not all republics. Our right. republic right. is really, it was well instructed.
Yeah.
So like the people who were building it were actually Whigs, and Whigs were as close as you can get to libertarian or anarchist mindset of, you know, a few hundred years ago. Mm-hmm. And so everything that they were doing, so just before our revolution in the United States or in the colonies, in about, I think it was 1760, they had taken out all the Tories, all the people that supported the British government. They had taken them out of political positions. Like, it was a massive movement. There was 3 million Whigs in the colonies at that time. And the Whigs were, like I said, as pretty much libertarians. You can imagine that today. Supporting the right to defend yourself, the supporting of right to property, right to ownership of land if you were to work it, the right for the people to represent themselves and be free, common law. These are all the principles of the Whigs. So we had 3 million Whigs. It wasn't just some like, you know, group of less than 100 people all coming together and organizing something. No, this was like millions of people all with a similar philosophy. They all were literate. Everybody in the colonies, we had a higher literacy rate in the colonies back then than we do in the States today.
I want to say something about that. You are so right. By design, they are making children illiterate. I talked to a veteran teacher. She was on my program. By the time you're watching this, I don't know, it might have been months, weeks, I don't know. But I talked to a veteran teacher and she said the second they took phonics out of the school and replaced it with sight words is when literacy took a major dive in the United States. And kids are graduating at extraordinary rates without really knowing how to truly read. Yeah. And this is important because what do they do whenever there was like a new regime coming over, or a new empire coming? They would burn books. We saw this in World War II. We're seeing it now, but in a digital sense. They have shut down any dissenting voices. They want to even take AM radio out and destroy AM radio. Why? Because that's where people like conservatives have a voice and they can share their opinions and their thoughts and go through things like that. They want to shut that down. They took a lot of us off of YouTube. They've censored us off Facebook, Twitter. I mean, so why? Because we have a different viewpoint, a different voice. We're going against the narrative. So they want to shut us down. And they do that also with literacy. I'm so glad you pointed that out, that these men were literate. Because if you don't read and you don't know how to read, like if you look at some of the more communist countries, there's lesser education. Because less education, it's easier to mind manipulate. If you can't read a book, if you can't go search online for information because you can't read, then you can never combat what they're saying. I am so grateful you pointed that out. Now, I want to know, do you know off the top of your head how many Tories versus the Whigs there were? Did the Tories outnumber Whigs?
Nobody really knows. And no, they didn't outnumber them. In fact, it was... there was something like, so we can imagine, you know, it was a very small percentage that actually did any fighting.
That's what my point is getting. I'm glad you said that.
But when it comes down to the support structure, like literally the entire countryside rose up, you know, in support. And there's, if you do some research, you can even find the ways that women supported the Revolutionary War, like the ways that they basically took over the farm work. So like the man would leave and go and fight for a while. He'd come back. Mostly these were militias. So like John Green's militia in I think it was Massachusetts. So like, you know, they were militias. So like people would come and go. And so the men would leave and then the women would take over the entire business and they would take over the towns. And so like, and sometimes the men didn't come back. But so it's really hard to gauge with that kind of system, like how many people were actually involved. But I think the numbers are like 40% of the population was in support in some way. And then 10 to 20% rose up at some point during the course of events to do some direct action kind of thing. And then there's like the middle ground people who didn't do anything. And then the Tories, right? And the Tories, there was, I'm not great with this. I think the number was 300,000 to 500,000, something like that. Tories at the end of the war actually had to flee. And so they had to go and they migrated to Canada, back to England, all over the place. And they had to get out. But in the end, the Tories weren't like bad people either. They were just like, imagine, because the colonies were British, like in the extreme. And they pled their case at the feet of Parliament over and over and over and over and over again. And most of them had family, living family in Britain at the time. Mm-hmm. And so imagine like you, your mom, your brother, your sister, maybe your brother, maybe you have a brother who's fighting in the British Army that's coming over here. Mm-hmm. And so, and maybe you came over here within your lifetime, you're more likely to be a Tory, probably. Unless you were like fleeing Britain, but so, you know, it was a tight knit relationship and it was strange too. 'Cause you're like fighting your brother. Mm-hmm. And so,
And not only that, it goes also with the mindset too. You were raised under this mindset for so long. It is really hard to break away from a mindset when you've been raised one way for a long time and you're used to it. To do something different, it's not comfortable to do something different. So I could see how that could be. But the family ties is important to make note. I'm glad you said something about that, because that's important to make note about that. But what you said about the women reminded me of World War II. Remember Rosie the Riveter? Because the men went to go fight in World War II, and so they had to have factories going. That's when the women came in and stepped up. And that's really when a big shift happened in the workforce between men and women, where now more women were not just going to go back home and be housewives. They were going to enter the workforce. But that's for another story. But yeah, it's interesting that some of the things you're pointing out are things that we've already done, and history does repeat itself, so it's something that we can learn from.
Hey, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back, the My Pillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, My Pillow 2.0.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a My Pillow or not, you need to get the brand new My Pillow 2.0. Call or go to mypillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
You know, it used to be in the 1920s, you could buy a whole suit for $20. You could get a shirt, a tie, a handkerchief, everything, belts, everything, pants. And that's just not the case anymore. But you could also do that in the early 1900s with a piece of gold. You could buy a whole entire suit worth of in the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20, maybe a tie. Maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
I like that other point you meant, that there was less fighters. But what I'm hearing you say, and when you're telling us about history, is there was a lot of unity. And what I'm really getting upset at is the dog-eat-dog world we're living in. Just, I want to see our group unified, because there's a lot of things we can be unified about. But then we nitpick, and then we censor, or we go after politicians, or we go after people, or we, you know, instead of coming, now is the time we need to come together the most. Now is the time we need, and then we can hash out other things later. But what, let's just focus on what we do agree on. Do we agree on election integrity? Do we agree on freedom? Do we agree on freedom of speech? What are we agreeing on? And then how are we going to fight together and be unified so that we can go back to the way things were written in the Constitution? So I'm looking for unity right now, and I want to start seeing that in all these little subgroups that have been formed, because people are angry realizing they don't have the right to vote, that they're selections, not elections, realizing you don't have freedom of speech. People are finally realizing it and they're angry about it. And I want to take that and harness it in a positive way where we can be unified, and it could be the greatest unifying experience we've seen in our lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down with unifying with the right people at this point. You know, I can accept anybody's perspective and appreciate them as a human being. And I could say, okay, that's what you believe. That's what you think. Mm-hmm. And as long as they're not harming me or trying to like affect my life with their beliefs, then that's fine. You know, I don't care. But today the problem is that, there is a massive agenda at play, and a lot of people have been manipulated into it, which is too bad for them. But honestly, it's the same thing that's happened. Like you said, history repeats the same thing as a million times before. A large population of people gets manipulated to become the oppressors for tyrants. And so today we have these oppressors for tyrants that they're kind of sprinkled throughout all of the different political spectrum, but there's definitely a weighted thing to that. So like, it's definitely right now, and this could change, but right now the biggest oppressors are these wokeism people who believe that big government is good, and that we need to reduce our freedoms to achieve this bigger government, which is completely opposite of what we need. So these people are the closest things to like the citizenry, the Tories that were actively fighting against their own people in the colonies. It's a similar thing. And then you have the obvious oppressors, which is the police and the military, whoever stays there and just does things because they're told to do them. You know, it's different between like in Illinois, the governor of Illinois trying to ban firearms like an idiot. All these sheriffs, the vast majority of the sheriffs sent a letter to the governor immediately saying, we're not going to do this. And so those people are good. They're shields, like they're supposed to be, against tyranny.
Right.
And so I think that the unification is great amongst the people who are in the know right now. And there's enough of us.
Yeah,
so,
I think there's enough of us.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, the petty crap needs to go away. Who cares? Yes. Nothing. None of it matters for sure. For sure, none of it matters. I don't even need to know the unique like circumstances. It just doesn't matter. The thing is that we're in such a critical point of time right now, and doesn't look that way because we live on credit, basically, in every way. We live on this credit. And so when the illusion pops, and when our finances, our credit bubble pops, and when people can really see through and see clearly what's really going on, because now it's in their face. I think that some people will come together because strife brings people together. But I think a lot of people will go into a survival mode as well. And I think that we could avoid that circumstance, but that's the agenda. So like people think that I encounter the mindset a lot that like some sort of apocalyptic thing is good. Civil war is good. It's not. Mm-mm. That's the agenda. It's to create a divide and conquer, have the people fighting each other.
That's
so that we never understand who the real enemy is. And the enemy is these parasitic, psychopathic politicians and these globalist people and these psychopaths in the churches, these the Catholic Church, whatever, all the child sex trafficking slavers, all these people. Yeah. And they're all pretty much the same group, and there's not too many of them. So like, you know, considering we have 300 and what, like 35 million people in this country, there's not so many of the true enemy. And so so yeah, it's time for people to, I mean, so
the illusion because they have power and they own corporations and they own communications like TV, radio, newspapers, the illusion is they're more powerful than what they are.
They have zero power. These people have zero power. You know, most of the judges that we have today are corrupted as well. Oh, so like,
if you look consider- at the Carrie Lake case. I feel like that one's a good example of that. I don't know. Did you follow what just happened in Arizona with Carrie Lake?
No.
So she saw this judge in December around Christmas time, and she was going to try and present evidence of maladministration of the election that happened. And she lost her governorship because of the maladministration. And so she appealed it. And the appellate court judge said, or was it in the Supreme Court judge? One of the judges in the higher court said, hey, no, we're going to kick it down to the lower court. They need to look at the evidence of signature verification. Why? Because that's election law. And so the lower court judge, he was hearing the case, but I think he already had his mind made up, because I think he's already bought and paid for her. But so she had great evidence and he ruled against her. So I'm sure it's going to be appealed again. I'm frustrated. You know, I'm glad there is a recall effort going on, but it takes citizens to get involved and do it. If you're going to wait on this corrupt judicial system, then we're going to just keep being enslaved. So it's time for us. I really like what General Flynn says. I've really kept it close to my heart. He says local action creates national impact. You have to get involved and do something if you want to see change. Going back to what you were teaching us about history, you had the Whigs getting involved to see change. So if they weren't government, they were people. You just said it. They were militia. They were regular people who were fighting for a cause of freedom, and they got involved and they made a difference. You and I and everyone listening to this broadcast can do the same thing and make a difference. I wrote a bill. I've never written a bill before. I wrote a bill. Did it pass? No, a fellow Republican killed it. However, I can still use my bill, and I have done this, and I've sent it to different state legislators because my bill's a great bill. It just supports the due process that was given to us by the Constitution, and it's making it mandatory where they're already violating constitutional law. I'm using state law to reinforce what the Constitution already gives us. Because sometimes people just don't know what their freedoms are. And this is just to protect people. Maybe they don't know what their freedoms are, but their freedom is to be tried by a jury. And that's getting violated in different courts. So it didn't pass this, but we're going to try it again. And I already sent it to two state legislators. Local action creates national impact. What if that bill goes to all the states in the United States? You know, national impact, or just what we're doing here in Arizona, recalling. What if that gives someone an inspiration to start recalling their state legislators or their county representatives? Local action creates national impact. Your little tiny drop has those big rings that flow like when you toss a stone in the water. Local action creates what you're doing with your newspaper. Local action creates national impact. You can inspire someone to read your story, and that story inspire someone to take action somehow, some way. Local action creates, that's what I firmly believe in. Local action creates national impact. And I want to know how you even got started with your newspaper. Where did this epiphany come from? How do people find your newspaper? Tell us about your newspaper.
Yeah, so I woke up on my last birthday in October, last October, and I just had it in my head. I don't know. I woke up thinking about making a newspaper and I couldn't get it out of my head. So I spent about a week developing the idea, and the real basis for it, the reason why I couldn't get it out of my head, was because for many years now, I've been considering and contemplating how we're going to organize people as we become more censored, more oppressed over time, which is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so I've done a lot, like I said before, I've done a lot of different things. I built social clubs. I've tried to put together networks for like connecting intentional communities and people living off grid and preppers and stuff. I've tried to educate people through writing books. I've tried to do a lot of different stuff, but I was thinking to myself, newspaper is super cheap. Mm. It's so cheap. And I can print this newspaper and bring it to people for far cheaper than I can do with my book. I can have other authors contributing and people that I know and trust putting in this content on topics that I'm not as educated on. So there's more diversity of thought. There's more educational material going in, and I can I can support the other projects and businesses that I love, that I want to get their projects out to a wider audience, so I can get them to advertise in the paper. It supports the papers being put out for free to the people, and it supports their business by getting to people who would otherwise probably never see their kind of content. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a month and a half, and then I had my first issue being printed. So December last year was the first issue. And we call ourselves Liberty Uncensored. So we did the first issue on freedom of speech. Every issue has got a different topic. So we've done freedom of speech, meme warfare and information, and basically censorship. The third one was Black History Revisionism, because we're in Black History Month then. Then we did community, then we did agorism, then we did anarchism. And then this next issue.
Agorism, tell me what that's about, agorism.
So agorism means basically, if you're not harming someone with your products that you're creating, if you're creating a product or a service or something, and you're giving it and you're wanting to exchange this with someone else for whatever you want to exchange it for, fiat, crypto, barter, time banking, gold backs, who cares, whatever your thing is. If you want to do some sort of exchange, there should be no regulator in between that process taking some fee. Agorism means living outside of the realm of these regulators. So if you operate in the black or gray market, you're potentially operating in agorism almost right away. So like if you're selling fentanyl on the street, you're not an agorist because you're causing harm to people. Mm-hmm. But if you are selling cannabis on the street, I mean, nobody's ever died from cannabis. Nobody's ever been harmed by cannabis. If a person chooses to take cannabis and then they get super high and they're driving around and they hit somebody, okay, now that they've created a victim, but somebody's selling, you know, some weed to somebody isn't a crime. So, somebody selling cannabis, somebody who, here's a really good one. Selling firearms. If you have a firearm and you want to sell it to someone, well, the government has a different opinion about how that should be done. But you could just do it and you're an agorist. You're in agorism. So, but that's not the only thing. Agorism goes a little bit deeper. It's about basically, if you want to live a free life, nobody should be taxing the movement of energy like the Rockefellers did with oil and with the use of the railroads to basically tax the movement of products from one place to another, to tax energy production along power lines from one place to another, to tax oil consumption from your car one place to another. There's a tax on every single thing that's energy productive or that's in an exchange between people, the way banks run, it's the same thing. So there should be no mediator for a free exchange between two people who are consenting people to some sort of exchange. There shouldn't be any middleman to that.
Did you know that the Rockefellers made the name fossil fuel because they wanted it to sound like it was rare, so they could make a lot of money on this rare material that's not rare material?
No, it's not rare at all. It's the second largest liquid on the planet. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was at Standing Rock. I don't know if you know about Standing Rock, but it's 2016, it was this, they were putting in a pipeline, basically they were putting in this pipeline and a community didn't like that. So they moved the place they were putting the pipeline to about 1 mile away from the Standing Rock Reservation. And so a whole bunch of people came out, and this is where the Water is Life Mini Wachoni started. This is where all that stuff started. So I was out there for a month, and for me, it's not about the oil pipeline itself. It's the fact that they moved the pipeline within 1 mile of the res, so that when it does break, because they all do break, it would spill onto the res. And I didn't think that that was fair because they moved it because another community said they didn't want it. So they moved it to the res, you know, it's like, it's
always the res, right?
Right. So yeah. that was the reason why it was upsetting for me. But there was a lot of positive stuff that came out of being there, tribes that came together, all sorts of different stuff happened. But in the end, I'm not against petroleum.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm for building better systems. I'm against horizontal drilling because it creates earthquakes in Oklahoma, and we know that for a fact, so we should stop doing it. Vertical drilling in the ocean, whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's do more of it. Like, and then not only that, but we need to kick, you know, all these companies that are selling the oil to us. This oil should be literally less than a penny a gallon for how much there is and for how easy it is to get it to us. And we have, companies like GM. There was a group, and this is just one example. There was a group of kids, four kids out of Michigan University back like 10 years ago or maybe more, that came up with, they developed an engine that could go 40,000 miles on a gallon of gas.
Wow.
And GM bought this patent from them and disappeared it.
Of course.
So why the hell are we still running? Why is my car getting 14, 15 miles a gallon and I have to pay $5 for my gas when we have engines that could do 40,000 miles on a gallon, and this gas is the second largest, this petroleum is the second largest liquid on this planet. It's a complete fraud against mm-hmm. the people, and it's a theft of our faith and credit, because they give our full faith and credit, right? So it's a fraud and a theft on us. And and you know, all this stuff, so I'm sure there's some people who are going to hear this that when I say I don't pay taxes and I don't agree with them, are going to say like, oh, you should pay taxes. Well, no, my taxes are going to the frauds. My taxes are going to this nonsense if I pay them. In fact, they're not even going directly. If you pay tax today, your tax goes to paying off a multi-trillion dollar debt that the United States government has taken out with the Federal Reserve, private bank, the greatest cartel of private thieves in the history of mankind. And so if you really wanted your taxes to go to something, you could just put them in yourself. Like if you wanted your money, if you wanted to give some portion of it to something, like they do in Islamic countries, they give a taqafal, because they so a taqafal is like a community, a group of people who voluntarily give to this community fund to support themselves in times of trouble or if somebody needs something or whatever. It's called a taqafal. Well, here we don't have the integrity to do that, I think, anymore, maybe in very small groups with people that you trust. And all it would really take is to get rid of those people or to build something parallel, ignore it, ignore their false laws, ignore their taxation.
Ignoring is key. Yes.
If you ignore it, mm-hmm. what can they do? If 10 million people right now, today, if 10 million people just said, nah, we're done. We're not going to listen to your gun laws. We're not going to listen to your road laws. We're not going to listen to your laws about what my kid needs to learn in school or the fact that they need to go to a federally mandated school. We're not going to abide by if everybody did that, 10 million people, it'd be done today. Because 10 million people, I mean, the influence that would have on a population that's only 23 times bigger than that is massive, massive, well, massive.
Yeah. You know, I left the woke telephone companies and I went with Patriot Mobile. If we did moves like that too, you know, where it's a conservative mobile, because I want a phone, right? So I switched from a woke company to Patriot Mobile. I moved from Bank of America to a credit union. If we start making these shifts, it starts taking their power away, because with money comes power. So there are little things that you can do on a small micro scale that could eventually have massive impacts. And I think that we should be cognizant of where we put our money. Like there's TikTok videos about Target and the clothes that they're having kids wear, or I don't know, just there's a plethora of examples out there, and you just got to find one. And then if there is a parallel company that you could start trying to use instead of that company, then all of us little by little making that shift makes a massive impact. And yeah. I like that idea very much. So
the goal of the newspaper is, well, there's two or three goals here. So the first one is by our 12th issue, we're on issue 7, By our 12th issue, we want to be printing 50,000 copies a month and distributing that. But to get there, we need a lot more advertisers than we have today. We're very particular about the people that we advertise. So anybody out there who's got an organization, a business, a project, whatever it might be, if you have a podcast like this, if you have anything, if you're educating people, producing a service or a product that creates more wellness in the world, if you're doing something that educates people on what freedom is, how to create more freedom, if you're producing actively more freedom in this world, we want to advertise you. And, if we can get the full book of advertisements for every issue, we would be doubling every single month. So no medium out there can do that, like newspaper.
Right.
So like, if you have a business out there, come and advertise us. We're cheaper than any other newspaper out there, mm-hmm. and we're iterative. So if you come in early, it's only $12 per column inch to get an ad. So you can get like a business card size ad right now for like $24 a month or something. I mean, it's so cheap. And so... so our scale goes up pretty fast, pretty high, pretty fast. But the thing is, if you advertise with us, by the time that we're scaling up to the new pricing model, it means you're paying for the amount of eyes that are going to see it. So it's pretty close to like perfect. It's better than social media for how many eyes and interactive things you're going to get from the paper for the cost. It's cheaper than all the other newspapers out there. We have lower overhead than anybody else out there. So everybody's remote. Everybody's volunteering for this.
That's awesome. And then how do people find it? Is it libertyuncensored.com? I mean, how do we get the newspaper?
You can go to libertyuncensored.news. Or libertyuncensorednp.com. We have a Substack where we do a lot more different kinds of content. I have a bunch of different series there about the law. I'm doing a reading of my second book, Unveiling a Better World, Deconstructing the Veracity of the American Fables. So I do a chapter every month on the 15th. I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff on the Substack, which is just libertyuncensored.substack.com.
Cool.
So another goal of Liberty Uncensored is we want to do, we want to get our own press going and basically eliminate the middleman. If people support us with enough funding, we're going to go get a press. We're going to put it off grid where nobody can find it. We're going to print a bajillion papers, and anybody else in the freedom community who has something that they want to put into print, we're not going to censor that. We'll just print it and send it over to you. And there won't be any more kind of middlemen trying to charge you exorbitant fees. We'll basically charge you what we have to charge you to run the thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, so I want you to make a profit. I mean, I'm about that too. I'm about small businesses making profit. There's nothing wrong with that. So charge what you have to make sure you turn a profit. So, you know, everyone wins. But
well, there's stuff in the works for making money for people involved, but for the moment, at least, right. Everything's volunteer. Nobody's getting paid out for the work they're doing, which means, hey, support us even more because guess what? Nobody's getting paid out. This is all people who are passionate to make this happen. And so so it's all volunteer. Nobody's getting paid out. And every part of the project is going out for free as much as we possibly can to the people who are the end result, which is just the population base is going to receive the paper. That means they don't have to work to get the information. It means it's going to them for free. That means your ad appears in front of them, and everybody loves free stuff. Even if mm-hmm. they don't like the content, you say, hey, free paper, and you hand it to them, they're going to take it. And so, and in 7 months of distributing this paper and seeing it go out, and I haven't had a negative comment. Not one comment has come through our email, has come to me personally, has come through any of the channels. Not one single comment has been made on Twitter. Not one single comment has been made on our Telegram. Every single thing that's been said to us is, we love your paper. We need more of this. And that tells me, because we're going out to every Joe out there. We're not just giving it to people who are like-minded. We're putting it on every single doorknob that we can put it on. It's telling me there's a lot of people out there that are ready, willing, and able to digest this information and take action. And there's more people already on board and want more freedom in their life. And they want to learn and build with other people. And 130 million people said no to the jab. That tells me something.
Mm-hmm.
All the fear-mongering and propaganda, people said no.
Yeah,
over 100 million people said no to that. That tells me there's a lot of people that are willing, ready, and able to say no to a lot more than that.
Well, I was so happy to interview you today and have you come on the show. Thank you so much, Corey, for joining us. I really appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
It's been great. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.